this basic shape, this kind of lower kind of bell curve shape, is what we'd expect kind of in normal conditions before development.
Ever the teacher, Professor Alice Jones sketches two curves on a sheet of paper to explain the dynamics of flooding. In both drawings, the same volume of water flows into a creek from a storm. But in one curve, the peak flow comes early and rises high. In the other, it's delayed and smoothed out. Jones says that high, fast curve is dangerous.
If it all hits the creek at the same time, that's when you're going to get flooding. That's when you're going to get erosion. That's when you're going to actually be carrying a lot more pollutants to the river.
Jones is a geography professor and director of environmental sustainability and stewardship at Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond. She says while floods are called acts of God, the works of man often play a significant role in creating them, too. Rainwater rushes rapidly over hard, impenetrable surfaces like roofs and parking lots. So, as development replaces trees, plants, and fields, the peak in that curve that Jones described spikes, creating flooding and carrying pollutants into streams and rivers. Creating structures that can slow the water down could lessen the likelihood of that flooding. So, when EKU began planning for a new science building several years ago, lead architect Eric Zabilka incorporated an innovative system of controlling rainwater runoff. Zabilka says in traditional buildings, water is something to be moved away rapidly.
The rain hits the roof, it gets collected by the roof drains, it immediately goes into roof drain piping, which is piped down to buried stormwater piping, and it leaves the site, it leaves the building as quickly as possible. What we've done here is to slow all of that down.
Each of the seven roofs covering portions of the building is designed like a very, very shallow bathtub that slopes gently toward the center, so the water moves slowly toward an interior drain. Those drains carry the water outside to huge concrete cylinders that bubble up into a channel of carefully engineered pools lined with rocks and gravel on a sloping hill south of the building. Jones says systems like this one can store water until the ground can absorb it, which helps smooth out that peak and reduce the risk of flooding.
Already, it's been held a couple of times. It's been held on the roof, it's been held in the piping, it's been held in those upwells.
The engineered channel outside is no different. There are no smooth surfaces or straight lines to speed the water along.
It has to kind of make its way around those rocks. The channel itself has curves in it rather than being straight, so it has to go from side to side or meander.
An artificial waterfall after the last of the ponds adds oxygen to the water before it travels to a series of wetlands that slow and filter the water even more before it flows into Richmond's pipes and ultimately into the Kentucky River. The oxygen is essential to aquatic life, which Jones explains is why home aquariums have bubble systems. Healthy aquatic plants and animals help clean the water in these wetlands. And Zabilka, the architect, says besides reducing flooding and pollution, the system saved money.
We saw a net savings in this system over a traditional system just because of this building on this piece of property on this campus. We believe that this was the least expensive option that we had.
EKU Science Building is just one project on a campus with dozens of buildings and acres of parking lots in a city that struggles with flooding. But Zabilka believes the building can help educate students and future clients about how and why to manage water.
When it comes to issues of water, we're all interconnected. You know, my drinking water came from someone else's property. It's all connected. And so if each of us takes little steps to try to make the water as clean as possible when it leaves our property, not only are we helping our neighbors, but we're also helping ourselves.
And in Richmond, there are a lot of neighbors. The water that runs off EKU's Science Center ends up in the Kentucky River, which provides the drinking water for about 700,000 Kentuckians. For WEKU, I'm Jacqueline Carfagno.